Well, meaning, what does that mean, isolated?
They felt that they had no contact with other people.
Except the
husband or the man or whatever.
Well, what do you mean by contact?
That they weren't exchanging thoughts or ideas with anybody, except the person who was sort of dictating them to them.
Then you would have to move to instances. Like?
Well,
because, yeah?
Like they were mostly married people who sat around listening to their husbands talking.
Well,
I
like...
that was okay.
But see, the same thing is, unless you examine the relationship itself, what's happened is that outside that relationship, people follow either conscious raising without really examining and questioning the concept and its justification to political activity. So that, like these women with the Ayn Rand thing, it was wild. I mean, they were like, now I'm called a religious fanatic, but I mean, they really had class, you know, like 10 times, just, and they'd say, well, I'm interested in the rights of the individual, and you seem to want the state to take over everything. I said, well, what do you mean rights, which individuals, how do you find this, and so on. Well, it was impossible, I mean, it was just like a granite wall, you couldn't, you know, they just kept saying a contradiction and they weren't going to move and they weren't going to don't ask any questions. So that women, I noticed, were taking, and then they said, but she's a woman. More's the pity. that they were relating to her and so glad to have somebody they could hide behind, just the way most women hide behind their husbands. And there is that participation. And that's what most people, and the damage conscious raising has done, is to say that in some way we don't have to change in a way that is going to be painful and could definitely lead to dying early, but I mean, what do you got to lose? So that when you say, listen to the husband or so, what you're saying, I hope you're saying, is they're not thinking for themselves. But are they thinking for themselves if what justifies a feeling as truth is the fact that other people are sharing something?
Well, it's a step toward thinking for yourself.
But how is that different in kind from what's going on with the husband, where they nod or say, yeah, they really come to believe they think that? What does that have to do with fact? How much do you think political activity should be related to fact? I mean, maybe we should have begun there. You know? How important do you think it is to know what the truth is?
Are you talking about a woman who goes into consciousness raising group who is married or who is engaged or dating a man?
I was using that as an example.
No, but I know, but I want to follow up on that example to clarify for myself. And then says all these things that she feels. You know, like I feel oppressed, I feel like I'm the underdog, I feel like I'm kicked around, I feel like I'm made to feel like shit. And then she still continues to remain in that situation which makes her feel that way. And that's not using her thoughts and making her feelings, which she feels are true, and turning them into thoughts for herself. If I feel that I'm being oppressed, how does that affect me? And she goes on and she goes through the whole thought process. But while she's going through the thought process, and even after she's come to some conclusions for herself, she's thought through some conclusions for herself, she still continues to be in that relationship.
You said it.
I'm asking you that question. Is that what you're talking about when you say she's not applying her facts, her truth?
No. I was saying, I was taking it out of that context then because it didn't seem to be getting too far. When you say that if a woman feels oppressed, so on, what about women? If I go and speak to people, speak places, I get a lot of people who say, well, I don't feel oppressed, so what does this have to do with me? Some people, and even if I am, maybe I like it. But that's not the answer. The answer is oppression is a fact. That is irrelevant. How can you judge that? That's your feeling. Unless you can prove that it exists, that's just your feeling, which is has no more relevance than hers.
But it's not just my feeling because it's where I've been.
But that's not
that's not the point.
Well, continue. What is the point?
Are you trying to establish that what these women were doing, who was talking about consciousness raising, is they're sort of falling into the same bag that they were in with their husband, because they're not relying on
they're not making the distinction between feeling and thought.
Yeah, they just feel a little more buttressed by a lot more feeling all around.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
When you say them, what have you got to lose by dying? Who would we refer to?
No, I was talking in that sense. I'll have to watch that. That's good. That was talking about the way I feel and making a kind of joke. You know that if things don't improve, that in the present condition, that one is not really alive very much anyway. So to die is not that much of a loss.
So that's your personal.
Right. That's my, and I will sometimes, if you like, construct a whole theory that will make this apply to the whole class of women. But no doubt very few women would feel that it was true. But the theory would have to establish it. And it's that, now it becomes clearer what you were saying about you had an argument and somebody else, though, has another argument. And so what difference does argument make? What you were talking about was somebody feels something is true, and then you have somebody else over here who feels something else is true, and who's to say? You're very right. It's irrelevant. But if you feel you're oppressed, or whatever you feel, say, sometimes I say, if it feels, looks, and tastes like shit, believe it, right? At least check it out. So that certain things that have happened to me when I've checked it out, I found an awful lot of stuff. Maybe not just what I had felt, but usually an awful lot more shit. And then you have something. So when a woman tells me, like, I lay out the marriage laws, she says, well, what about all those happily married women? I'm happy. So then you can say, you have two choices. Either you're happy in spite of being married, which is dubious, or you're a congenital idiot, because these conditions that I've outlined here are subhuman, but that's all right for you, or you're lying. I think a really good example of this that just came to me was, I was someplace a few days ago, and college people, it's sort of hard because they haven't often been through or hit certain kinds of shit. So sometimes I start by saying, how many women here plan to get married? Well, I'd say 98% raise their hand. Then I'd say, how many of you know the man you plan to marry? Well, maybe half of them raise their hands. Very interesting. You're going to get married, but you don't know to whom, right? Then I say, how many of the men you plan to marry know you plan to marry them? About 5% the women raise their hands. Oh, okay. Let me tell you about the domestic relations laws. You run through that. You beat it all the way down. You hold up your charts, everything. Everything is okay. Then you say, after an hour of this, how many of you still plan to get married? 98% raise their hands. So I say, okay. At least how many of you are going to read the domestic relations laws? Not a one. Oh, I said, you're smarter than I thought. You know what's there. You're running for the prison gates. You don't even know who else is going to be in there. Now we have to say, what would you do if you didn't ever get married? What life would you see for yourself? What are you running from? Because obviously you're nuts. I mean, here you are running for this prison. I mean, you don't even have the guy, and you don't, doesn't matter, any jerk will do, you know, just as certifiably male, whatever that is, you know? Now that shows you, they have very strong feeling they want to get married, period. And marriage is good, period. Now, I'm not saying I've changed their minds. But you have to, and when you lay that out, they still want to get married, so then you have to get behind that. But that shows you a difference between feeling and fact.
Doesn't that also show you that you presented a good argument and it didn't do any good? You could have just stood there and, you know, done the same thing, and you still would have had your 98% for weeks on end.
Yeah,
if you wanted to.
You could say that for Jesus Christ.
Please. I'm not getting up on nothing.
No, to do something, to get something done, you can use this all you want, and you can present your arguments all you want, and it's still not going to do any good unless you change your tactics somehow.
But is the problem the argument, like abortion, right? No women stood up at the beginning 4 years ago on abortion. This did not mean that my argument was wrong. But then you have a distinction between what the truth is, which is what you have to find first, and then how are you going to convince people of it, which is second. In consciousness raising, you convince people of something or other, which then establishes the truth. Kind of ask backwards. That's what I meant. How come nobody said, what is consciousness raising as an idea? Because that's what would have come up. So the fact that I stood up there, I admit, it's very frustrating. But it turns out that I often get letters like several months later, and a lot happened. So you develop techniques like, I refuse to take questions and answers. I say, I don't want you to think that this question's over when the freak leaves town. This is about you. You talk to each other about it. I'm not going to talk to you about it. I told you what I thought. Now you talk about it. So then they spend 3 days trying to talk about what I meant, you know. But later you really see that it did dribble through. But there is a distinction between what somebody feels, and many people feel something enough to kill for. But that still doesn't mean it's the truth simply because somebody's ready to kill for it. And if we're going to be responsible at all, which may in fact not be a good idea, that's another. Why do you want to be responsible? You should ask. I mean, these things, everything, examine, take apart. It's fun, besides, you know, but take it, everything apart, develop that kind of faculty. I lost my idea. About if you're going to be responsible, the truth is important. And sometimes it might even someday be necessary to kill. But it will be done because it's unavoidable in terms of preventing the death of many, many people. But you better be pretty sure. And not thinking is not the way never to have to make that decision, because most killing comes from feeling, not from thinking. So that without the truth, without caring about the fact that, like, women wouldn't come out on abortion, I didn't know what was going on. But because they wouldn't even deal with the truth, and the truth had no value in the woman's womb, that's our problem. That's one of our problems. Women die because of our irresponsibility. And we're going to lose, and women are going to be worse off than they were before, just like women, and you could substantiate that by figures, were worse off after the last woman's movement, because then they found out that they were free now. The fact that they were in the same position meant that they were, in fact, inferior. And that's why it can't be indulged. And that's why that distinction is so important, and even more important than I had realized before. This now. In the woman's womb, it's like, say if you have a map, and somebody says, I feel that behind that mountain is a plain, it's got this kind of, well, it usually doesn't go, they never say this, you know, the measurements and everything. That's, I just feel something of that general character is over there. And some dumb bunnies think, it say, yeah, I guess that's so. They trot up, right? And it's a precipice. And they got a big run going, right? Psh. And it's really, if you have a time problem, if you make too many mistakes, people really give up hope, too. That is, that if movement keeps going, keeps getting bigger, nothing really seems to be happening, and you make sure you don't keep your keep track of what's happening in the legislatures, like this screwing woman deaf, dumb, and blind in a backlash on the divorce laws. And while I want to get rid of marriage, my plan isn't to eliminate the women to do it. Nobody's watching that. We're losing ground. And that's what comes by sitting and feeling. Those women are going to feel us in a squeeze. So that means, again, we'll lose or have to reduce any demands to a vote. So when you talk about, what do you think of, say, all right, a good example, an abortion again. And it was tricky because it was underground. It was hard to base, find the facts for sure. But one of the things was 80% of women getting abortions, illegal abortions, are married. Now, these were the figures that I was given by so-called experts, and of course there are very few experts on something that's underground because it can't be checked and so on. It did look kind of funny to me. I guess because I thought, well, married women, it would be more easy to get birth control pills and all because the doctors and so on, and just the women I'd know who wanted abortions tend to be single. But since, well, I was married for 5 years, and I thought, well, yeah, but maybe I know more single people, so on. Well, when I did start seeing where these figures came from, that was another wild one. You had estimates anyplace from 500 to 50,000 women dying a year of abortion. Now, you chose your figure on the basis of whether you were for or against abortion repeal. That was literally the criteria. And the married woman argument, of course, first of all, I found out that it was false before I said, then why in the world did people say the other? But when you checked out the figures that began being provable, that is, of like the Clergyman's Consultation Service, where they were helping, and there was, you checked out where they got their references to see if it was reasonable to think that it was a cross-section. All of these things you have to check. It was more like the other way, 80% single. And when I had even said, well, how do you know it's 80% married, people had said, it makes it more respectable. It's not just the moral people. They didn't put it quite that way, but for those clods out there, important, you know, they're not talking about themselves. And I said, but, you know, I'm all for winning, but if it ever comes out that that's not true, it's going to hit us much harder. And isn't it better to deal with the truth and defend that? Because this could boomerang people. If it became exposed, then people could say, wow, it's really bad. In addition to everything else, even they know it because they lie. Now, of course, much later, it did come out that had been false. Now, there were certain consequences that these people even came to believe and base their actions on the fact that these women were married. And if these women were married, they necessarily had a man attached to them by law who would be forced to help cough up the money, help them get it. leaving aside, well, the Catholic men who would not permit their wives to get an abortion, much less provide any assistance. So that left aside the emergency nature of these women dying because they had no access to anything. So that's how important this distinction is between feeling and thinking. If you're just feeling, I think you have to ask yourself, in a moral sense, what impression you're giving to people by saying you're a feminist or in the women's movement. Because you can feel and not be in the women's movement. If you're in the women's movement, you're saying something, I believe that women are discriminated against. Now, maybe this is an assumption on my part that's false. I go from there to think, not only do you think women are discriminated against, but you want to do something to change that. Now, that may be a logical fallacy. I mean, can you? No, seriously, this is... Just because if you're in the women's movement or the black movement or anything, it's fair to assume that you think that there's a problem, but does it commit you to do anything about it? And if so, why? No, not really, I guess logic. It's all solved. Well, movement, yeah, that's it. If it's moving, right? It's got to be going backwards or forwards. It's a movement about women. Movement goes, it doesn't say whether it goes backward or forward.
And circularly.
Isn't it possible for someone to ride a moving object without doing anything actively?
Sorry, can you speak up?
I said, isn't it possible for someone to be on a moving vehicle without doing anything actively? To be a passenger.
But is that, again, now the fallacies in analogies are very interesting. Does that hold up as an analogy? If you talk the women's movement, you're talking about a movement concerning women. You're talking about a movement. Now that means that's where semantic analysis is important, and you get into that in almost any analytic philosophy. So you break down the main part, and it's a movement concerning women, which seems to imply that every part is moving, not that there is a hierarchy in terms of degrees of moving. It's a movement about women, so that there is supposedly no main body. In other words, there isn't a vehicle and a rider. There actually is a vehicle and rider, but I mean in terms of the term, a women's movement. That by the term it should be a movement of people concerned about women. And unless you qualify that, means everybody. That's one of the big fallacies in the women's movement. People say you must work only on black women or poor women are the most important. Now if you say women are oppressed, you're not just saying just poor women or just anything. So until you're prepared to qualify that, you cannot then make that leap.
And what about the women in the movement that are holding it back and creating infighting, and then the agents in the movement?
Well, I guess, obviously, the logic of the term the women's movement has no bearing on our present situation. First place, there isn't any movement any place. There are some individuals who are doing something or trying to. So that actually it is analogous to what she's been saying. That's your vehicle. That's sort of like Model T, right?
But the difference here, it seems to me, to carry out your analogy, if you're talking about the woman's movement, and then your analogy of a vehicle.
What slows a vehicle down is if any of the moving parts in the motor that drive the vehicle forward are not functioning. This will slow down the entire vehicle, just as women who are not functioning in the women's movement are part of the vehicle itself, and if they are not functioning, it's going to slow down the vehicle of the women's movement.
Well, I was only challenging the fact,
the form,
that there are people who are in the women's movement who are not functioning as a part of the women's movement.
Well, that's why you have to distinguish between, like when I'm talking about the oppression of women, or sometimes I say, I'm not the women's movement, I'm an art critic. Because, you know, there's no women's movement as far as I can see. There are a lot of people talking about women and claiming that there's a women's movement, but you can't justify the claim. So what we have is a separate issue. I mean, I guess, now that you bring it up, that I'm assuming that we're all here because we know what we have, and the biggest problem now, even more, well, let's say we're trying to step over the problem, which is that there is not a movement, and trying to, my own motivation is that maybe by getting at these distinctions and skills, and anybody here, you know, is wanting, you know, recognizes there isn't one and wants to get one going, that what we really have is what you describe, which obviously is in contrast to what a woman's movement would be. But that's why definition is so important. Definition is so important, because now people say how sloppy it is. Like people say, what's the difference between feminism and women's liberation? Well, when they ask me that, I say, well, there is a distinction, but the ways in which they are used, they're interchangeable. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
There is a distinction between feeling and thinking. But most women do not understand that distinction. So that the reality of a certain context, somebody saying, a woman interested in the movement, what is the distinction in the movement between, and I know she means by the movement, the car that's going in every direction, between feminism and women's liberation? You have to separate what objectively is the distinction and what that distinction is in the context she's referring to. This is why it's so important for people to learn. Yeah.
Do you think men know the distinction between thinking and feeling?
Much more so, because they understand that's the best way to keep the power. You know, they know the difference between thinking and feeling. That's why they're engineers and this and that and the other thing, because you have to be able. See, when you think, the worst thing about logic is it gets you in all kinds of trouble, because there's no way of escaping where you're going then, what's in your interest. Now, the reason men think is that they want to be very clear that they maintain their power, and that means that they have to think straight. Or, let's say, thinking in that sense is they don't want to arrive some morning at their company or what have you and find out that they haven't been watching things too closely and all the money's been run off to by the partner to Mexico. So thinking has to do not with your feeling towards somebody, but with really keeping an eye on things, getting facts, watching things, which involves evidence, which involves deduction in terms of past experience from which you deduct what may happen. Not only you can expect to happen now, but in the future. Say, for instance, why I'm here now. I'm here from the point of view of thinking that I know from adding up these things what's going on in the women's movement, even though it's not a popular thing. It's getting more popular simply because people must have just worn themselves out on the other methods. I know that we're not going any place, and the reason I know it is that that I can cite you the figures that we had at the beginning and show that there is no change and actually show where we've lost ground. So we've got to do something about this, and I have to figure out, well, how can I account best for the problem of I'm not getting any place? And it seems that people can't think or maybe have some of these skills, and I know that in my own learning more about that, that I became much better and could think even against the wave of my own feelings. So I often arrived at conclusions that meant I had to give up doing certain things that I had been doing, and it might even be painful. But once I saw, you know, the situation of, say, for instance, okay, abortion, I saw it was right, and I saw that nobody else was going to speak up and somebody had to, then you would go and do it. That comes from thinking, not from feeling. It comes from thinking against feeling, and it's based or forced even from fact. Now, men definitely think because they want to keep the power they have, and that means you've got to keep your eyes open. Thinking has to do with keeping your eyes open.
Don't women in the same position think also? I think, I know a lot of women that would be upset if they went into the office and all the money was gone too. I think that it's unfair to say that men think and women don't. That's a blanket statement. I think that the women
most women.
Well,
the women who are in that
position, I would say that men generally, and I'm including women supposedly in high positions, look at Ayn Rand, that men generally make a clearer distinction more consistently between thought and feeling than do women. And that, okay, you say, how do you support that, right? Well, it's easy, I think, to distinguish between thought and feeling in terms of something that you can substantiate. Thinking has to do with a consequence of ideas that are related to each other in some way.